And you know, one of the things that just breaks my heart as a pastor in an African-American community is to see people who are on the street and who have made excuses that other races are trying to hold them back, that they can't find a job, that they can't do this, that they can't do that. And once again, I'm not saying that a lot of people haven't been given a bad deal. I'm not saying that at all. But some way, somehow, you got to stop letting the lion keep you from achieving your goals. You got to stop letting the lion cause you to sell drugs to kids in our community. You got to stop letting the lion cause you to sell your body on the street. You got to stop, let the lion stop you from getting in gangs and banging.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, There's a Lion in the Streets. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of There's a Lion in the Streets.
Or underlying excuse is complacency. Some people are just in their comfort zone. And because they're in their comfort zone, they're going to make every excuse not to step out of that comfort zone. They're going to come up with everything that they can think of. You know, there's a book that I've been reading in preparation for this message. And it's by this guy by the name of Dr. Wayne Dyer. Now, he's not a Christian, so I'm going to say that right up front. And the title of his book is Excuses Be Gone. And in this book, Dr. Dyer lists 18 of the most common excuses that people use. Let me just run down the catalog to you. It will be difficult. It's too risky. It will take too long. I don't deserve it. It's not in my nature. I cannot afford it. No one will help me. It has never happened before. I am not strong enough. I am not smart enough. I am too old. It's too big. I don't have the energy. It's my personal family history. I'm too busy. I'm scarred. The rules won't let me do it. 18 of the most common excuses that people use for not doing the things that they know they ought to do. And a lot of those excuses, if we were to go back and break down each one and study them, it's just because people have settled in their comfort zone and they don't want to move out of their comfort zone. And so their comfort zone keeps them in a place where they begin to use all these excuses because they are complacent. Apathetic people. People who just lack desire and passion. And because they are lacking desire and passion, and they are out here trying to do something, and it's not being done with the fire and zeal that they need to do it with, they begin to make excuse. Well, you know, if so-and-so would have did what they supposed to do, then, you know, then it would have happened. Well, you know what? I've been doing this all by myself, and, you know, I'm not getting any help. So you begin all these excuses. You begin a catalog of excuses. And the fact of the matter is that you're just apathetic because there was a time when you did it with fire and zeal, and the job got done, and now you don't have that fire and zeal, and you're making excuses as to why it's not being done. A sixth underlying cause why we use excuses is lack of discipline. If we would have did what it was we were supposed to do in preparation of doing what it is that we did, then we wouldn't have to make an excuse. But because we lack discipline, because we don't discipline ourselves to get ready the night before, because we don't discipline ourselves to wake up in a timely manner, because we don't discipline ourselves to leave far enough ahead of time, whenever we're late for anything, even if it's coming to church, we got an excuse. Well, you know what? The parkway was backed up. You know, I tried to come down to Tiger Street, and I didn't know they had it blocked off. Yeah, you got an excuse now. You got an excuse. But if you'd have left in enough time to get here, you would have got to Tioga Street, and you would have saw that it was blocked off, and you would have known that you had to come around, and it wouldn't have made a difference anyways. You see, this is the bottom line, saints. This is the bottom line. Instead of us giving excuses, you know what we need to say? Instead of me trying to come up with one of these 18, I'm too old, it's too big, you know, I'm too weak, I'm not smart. Instead of just say, you know what? I was just lazy. Let's go right to the root. Oh, it's quiet up in here this morning, but that's all right. That's all right. Let's go right to the root. Right to the root. I was just lazy. You know? Let's go right to the root. Well, I just don't trust God. I just don't have the faith to trust. Come on now, instead of saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going to get this, I'm going to know I'm going to get that. Just let's get right to the root. Lord, I just don't have the faith to trust you. Let's get right to the root. I didn't discipline myself to do what I needed to do, to be ready where I need to be ready, to be where I need to be. I didn't discipline myself. And, you know, it don't make any difference if the parkway was backed up. It don't make any difference if I couldn't find my keys right away. It didn't make any difference if I had to make my lunch. You don't have any excuse if you have the discipline. Let's just go right to the root cause. And let's call it what it is instead of making these excuses. You see, you know, sometimes I wonder what God must think whenever we make excuses. Especially when it comes to the things that where 81% of us, and once again, now, I know I'm preaching hard this morning, but I'm beating myself up too now, saints. Where 81% of us said that this was something that God gave us to do, and we found an excuse. We found a lion that kept us from not doing it. There was a list of excuses that children made for not having their homework. And as I read through this list of excuses, I had to say to myself, that's unbelievable. And I wonder if God doesn't listen to us sometimes and excuses that we make about why we don't do this, why we don't serve him, you know, why we're not faithful in coming to church, why we don't spend time with him, you know, why we don't, discipline ourselves to do the things that we have to do. I wonder sometimes God don't look at us and God doesn't say, man, that's unbelievable. That is really unbelievable. Listen to this. I made a paper plane out of my homework and it got hijacked. I put my homework in a safe, but I lost the combination. Some aliens from outer space borrowed it so they could study how the human brain works. I loaned it to a friend, but he suddenly moved away. I was kidnapped by terrorists, and they only let me go a few minutes ago, and I didn't have time to do my homework. The lights went out in my house, and I had to burn my homework to see where the fuse was at. I didn't do it because I didn't want all the other kids in class to look bad. As you listen to those, what was your thought? That's unbelievable. Wow. That's unbelievable. And I wonder if God don't sit up in heaven and hear us make all these excuses, and if God doesn't say, that's unbelievable. That's just slap amazing. I can't even believe they tried to use, I can't even believe they pulled that one off right there. And yet and still, you know, we skip on our merry way, you know, and just think nothing about the excuses that we make. You know, and I began to, you know, do some research, and I found that, you know, what if the excuses that Christians use, if we tried to use them somewhere else, they wouldn't fly. They would absolutely not be accepted. What if just think if we tried to say, well, you know what, I'm not going to any more sporting events. And here goes my reasons. You know, I'm not going to any Steelers games. You know, I'm not going to any of my grandkids' football games anymore. And this is the reason I'm not going. Every time I go to the game, they ask me for money. The people who sat at with me in the stadium, I'm not going back because they weren't very friendly. I'm not going back to the stadium anymore because the seats there were too hard and uncomfortable. I'm not going to see any games anymore because I got sick and the head coach never came to see me. I'm not going back anymore because the referee made a decision that I didn't agree with. I'm not going back to the game anymore because I was sitting with some hypocrites and they only came to see what everybody else was wearing. I'm not going to the game anymore because it went into overtime and I was late getting back home. I see, you know, people, man, they want to hurry up and get home so they can watch the Steelers, right? I'm looking for some folk that are going to watch the Steelers and say, I hope they don't go into overtime because I got to go pray with somebody. I hope they don't go into overtime because I got to go lead somebody to Christ. I hope they don't go overtime because I want to go have a Bible study with somebody. I'm not going back to the game anymore because the band played some numbers that I had never heard before. I'm not going back to the game anymore because they were scheduled when I had other things to do. I'm not going to the game anymore because my parents took me to too many games when I was growing up. I'm not going to the game anymore because I read book on sports and I feel that I know more than the coaches. I'm not going to the game anymore because I don't want to take my children because I think my children should decide what games they want to go to when they grow up. How ridiculous. But those are the excuses that believers use for not serving God and not doing right. They allow these lions to pop up in the street. They allow the lions to come in and have reasons and excuses for not doing what it is that God has called us to do. What is an excuse? What is an excuse? An excuse can be broken down into two things. First of all, an excuse is a justification for wrongdoing. It's when you try to justify something that you did wrong, and you try to make an excuse to make yourself feel better about something that you did wrong. Once again, case in point, we go back to Adam, the woman that you gave me. Man, you did wrong. You were the one that did wrong. Don't cast it off on anybody else. Drop your ego, drop your pride, and accept the responsibility. Don't blame shift onto somebody else. You were the one. And yet and still, you know, we try to cover it up. We're no different than Adam. We're the same as Adam. We try to cover it up. Well, what's another definition of an excuse? Another definition of an excuse is a justification for people not to reach their full potential. It's a reason for you not to reach your full potential. Man, out in the street, that's where my job is. Out in the street, that's where ministry is. Out in the street, that's where service is. But I can't go out in the street because there's a lion in the street. I have an excuse for not going out to reach my full potential. I have an excuse. And you know, one of the things that just breaks my heart as a pastor in an African-American community is to see people who are on the street and who have made excuses that other races are trying to hold them back, that they can't find a job, that they can't do this, that they can't do that. And once again, I'm not saying that a lot of people haven't been given a bad deal. I'm not saying that at all. But some way, somehow, you got to stop letting the lion keep you from achieving your goals. You got to stop letting the lion cause you to sell drugs to kids in our community. You got to stop letting the lion cause you to sell your body on the street. You got to stop, let the lion stop you from getting in gangs and banging. You got to let the lion stop. And too many people have let the lion control their lives. And that's why they're still hanging out on the corner, doing things that they shouldn't have done, because they have a lion that they have depended on. They have a lion that they have used as an excuse, and it has stopped them from reaching the full potential in their lives. Now, I know some people are sitting here this morning, and you're asking the question, you know, what is the difference now? Because, you know, there's some things I can't do, and you know, it's not an excuse. Well, let me tell you the difference between an excuse and a reason. An excuse is a justification for covering something up that was wrong or something that is hindering you from reaching your potential. That's an excuse. And people have many excuses for doing things. But what is a reason? A reason is a legitimate justification for not being able to do something. If you have a medical condition, you have a reason why you can't do something. You know, I think of my grandson. You know, my grandson is allergic to peanuts. He can't eat anything with peanuts, or even if it's cooked in peanut oil, if it got anything in it. If it does, he just starts to swell up and, you know, turn red. And the most devastating thing is that his lungs begin to swell up and his air passages are blocked. And if he doesn't get to a hospital, you know, real quick, or get some treatment real quick, you know, he can die. And so he can say, well, I can't eat peanuts, you know, because I could die from that. Well, that's not an excuse for not eating peanuts. That's a reason, a legitimate reason. And so there are some things that people can't do. They have a reason why they can't do them. But I think that we as God's people, that we need to understand that there's a big difference between an excuse and a reason. And some people, you know, I think of, now I'd heard two testimonies last week during the missions conference of people who were elderly people. And people say, well, I'm too old. And two testimonies we heard, one was with Brother Glover from the north side. And I think he said he took an 80-some-year-old man with him to the mission field. 80-some years old. And then Glenn Mason last Sunday from this pulpit said he just came back from Liberia and he took an 80-some-year-old person with him on a missions trip. So as I look at that, that kind of knocks in the head the excuse that I'm too old. So we can't say that I'm too old, all right? Because now, if we say that because of my age, I'm dealing with this medical condition, and that's the reason I can't do it, well, then that's a reason. But just to say I'm too old, oh, and it got quiet up in here now. And it got quiet. Let me hurry up and finish this message. All right. And so we as Christians, you know, we need to be able to distinguish between what is an excuse, a justification for wrongdoing or to keep us from accomplishing our goals, and we need to distinguish what is a reason, a justified reason for not being able to do something. And as we understand that, I just want to close with this right here. And this is, I guess for me, the most convicting of this whole message. And that is, Jesus Christ died for sin and not for excuses. God has made three provisions for excuses. And for sin. And I'm gonna ask that you would turn with me, first of all, to Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Romans chapter 5. In verse 20. And here the Apostle Paul says this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Amen. Where sin abound, so wherever sin is, what has God provided? Grace. Amen. Look at 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. God has provided grace for sin. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What has he provided? The blood of Christ. He's provided grace. He's provided the blood. And third, he's provided confession. Look at 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God addressed this issue of sin so seriously, he provided grace, he provided the blood of Christ, and he provided confession, all for us to deal with sin. But I read this word, and not once do I read in there that God has provided anything for excuses. Nothing. Now, an excuse can come from sin, or an excuse can lead to sin, but an excuse is not sin. Let me tell you why. Because an excuse is the truth. For me to say, I'm too old, that's true. I am too old. I am old. You know, you can't argue with that, all right? For me to say, I'm not smart enough, well, that's true. At that point, I might not be smart enough. So really, intrinsically, there's nothing sinful about an excuse. So God didn't even, he didn't even make anything in the Christian armory for us to be able to address an excuse. You know, the only thing that we can do with an excuse is forsake it. That's the only thing we can, if you make an excuse for something, the only thing that you can do is forsake it. The only thing you can do is to let that line stop intimidating you. Let that line stop intimidating you from doing what it is that God has called you to do. I have a video clip that I want to share as we conclude the message this morning. And it talks about how that we as God's people make excuses. And how that as we make excuses, that there's nothing that God has provided for us to enable us to deal with it other than forsaking. The only thing that God has called us to do is to forsake the excuses that we have in our lives. And I tell you, this, you know, I just began to think about things that I was saying and how I was responding to people. And I began to really meditate on and evaluate how I was communicating with other people some things. And I really saw, and this is what beat me up, that I was making excuses. And I said, you know, Lord, by your grace and by your help, you know, I'm going to do one of two things. I'm either going to do what I have to do so that I don't make an excuse, or I'm just going to be real and get right to the root and tell the person, hey, look, I was lazy. You know, I procrastinated. And you know what? I just didn't have to. I'm just going to be honest. God help me. You know, I don't want to use any excuse anymore. Let me either be real and say what the real cause of why I didn't do what I was supposed to do, or let me make sure that I've done everything that I can to get it done.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Blame Game. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, There's a Lion in the Street, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request There's a Lion in the Street. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request There's a Lion in the Street, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.